And the harder I have tried to unmessify me, the messier I have gotten. Now, if anybody relates to that on any level, I'd take a show of hands. Anybody? Oh, Gorel goes. And I really, really know him. All of us tried to fix us, didn't we? And the more we tried to fix, the deeper down in the hole we slid. Now, I want you to open up your bulletins to the inside, right-hand side, and I want you to write down. You know, you're always going to get good news from me when I preach. Well, this, all the bad news you're going to get, we're through with now. It's good news from here on out. So write this down. The good news to start with is that the answer is not us. It has never been us. Those of you who have been with me for a while and heard me preach a few times know that one of my top two or three favorite stories in the Old Testament is in Daniel chapter 3. And three young Hebrew boys who were told to bow down to a big idol, to Nebuchadnezzar, who had conquered them and made slaves out of them. And he said, I'm going to have this band start up, and I want everybody in front of me to fall on the ground face down and worship me. And the band struck up, and those three young Hebrew slaves refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. And he was furious. And so he had a great big furnace. I don't know what they used the furnace for, smelting or something. He had a great big furnace, and he had his soldiers stoke it up hot and then hotter. And it says seven times hotter than it had ever been before. I mean, an inferno. And he said, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to give you one more chance. One more chance. And when the band starts up, you drop or you literally burn. And he gave the signal, the band started playing, and they stood right there on their feet. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar told the soldiers to grab them and throw them into the fire. And then he watched for them to burn, and they didn't. And he looks, in fact, that fire was so hot, it says it killed the soldiers that got close enough to throw them in. It was that level of hot. And there stand those three young Hebrews without their clothes even singed in the middle of that fiery furnace. And you remember, do you remember the words of Nebuchadnezzar when he warned them that last time? He said, all right, this is your last warning. He said, I'm going to throw you in that furnace. And then I love his words. He says, and what God will be able to save you from my wrath? Bad question for Nebuchadnezzar to ask. Because immediately those three young men replied, and I quote them exactly. In fact, I'm going to want you to write down what they said. They said, we don't even have to think this over. We don't have to give this consideration. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And it's their next words that are the power. And he will. Come on. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will. I need to believe that somebody is able because I'm not. You know, I have spent great chapters of my life as a news junkie. I'll watch hours of news for I've had to repent. I've given it up. If there's something where people that I love may be involved in some way, like loved ones in Florida, I'll watch to see who's safe and what's going on. But by and large, the guy who for many years spent hours a day honing in on the news just had to give it up. Because I finally figured out that governments don't have the capacity to fix what's wrong with me.
There you go.
People don't have the capacity to fix what's wrong with us. And we listen to a God who says that He has been, is, and will always be able to provide the needs of His children. Amen. And I'm His child, and that's all the information I need to get me through this Saturday. Amen. He's going to take care of it. And so help me. He has not let me down one day on that. I have not had a day that I didn't have a place to sleep and food to eat and clothes to wear and well cared for every day of my life. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. If that's a Serenity Bible, that will be page 818. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Do you realize really that death is the only real weapon our enemy has to use against us? And he says the purpose of Jesus was to destroy that weapon. He took that out of the devil's hand. And when he came back up out of his tomb, a dead man stood up and walked out. And he said, see, I told you death would die. And it died for me and it dies for you. You'll never have to die. Now, our bodies are a mess on a good day. And my body gives me more trouble than anything else I've got. And my body will finally just use up, wear out, and my loved ones will dispose of my remains in some way. But I'm telling you clearly, when that day comes, I won't die. This carcass, this shell, this package that has carried me around is going to wear out unless God comes really quick. It's going to wear out, but I will never die. Amen. And that's the good news that we lean on. Write this down. Because He suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Did you get that? Because He suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Right. See, I don't want anybody, frankly, including God, try to carry me somewhere He's never been. I don't want anybody, and that includes God, to take me somewhere that He doesn't know and hasn't been. You know, I've told you the story through the years about when I was in elementary school. My folks were missionaries all of my life, and we lived in Africa. And my dad and I would get up at least two mornings a week. We'd get up just as the sun would. We had the only car for many miles and many villages in all directions. We lived so far back in that deep jungle. There were no roads to the place, the house we lived in. There was wide paths, but if you had a really small car, you could straddle that path and bump down it to get where you were going. So we had a little, one of those little original VW Bugs. That was as big a car as you could get to straddle a path through the jungle and get to where we lived in Ikatusin, Nigeria. And we would get up, and the reason my folks went to Nigeria is they had somebody challenge them that nobody has the right to hear the message twice until everybody's had the right to hear it once. And that there are people all over the world who have never heard the name of Jesus. All over the world. And do we really spend our whole lives standing up saying the same stuff to the same people who already know it? And he said, what about those people? And it indicted my mom and dad. So they gathered up our little family and moved as far back in the jungle as you can go. And my dad and I would get up and strap bicycles to the top of that little VW bug, and we would get someone we trusted who spoke the language and knew the way of some point even deeper into the jungle where outsiders had never been. And we would put that person that spoke our language and that language. There are over 400 languages and dialects in Nigeria. That's a challenge. Wow. And we would get in that little bug and we would take it until the path got smaller and smaller and just couldn't go anymore. Then we would unstrap the bicycles that we had strapped to the top of the car and take those down another little path until we couldn't do that anymore. And everywhere we went, we carried long, sharp machetes. And we would literally hack our way from there to the edge of the Cross River that went up into regions no one had ever carried the message. And we would go down there, and our guide would arrange with some of the local fishermen who had dug a canoe out of a log to take us upriver to villages we had not yet been to tell them the good news about Christ. Deep memories of mine are in a log going down that river and seeing 12, 15, 18-foot long crocodiles sunning themselves on the bank. But you know, there were two things that caused us to do that safely and me to still be here to tell you about it all these years later. One, before we ever got in the car, we got on our knees. And we asked God to take us where the message needed to go this time and get us back home to our family safely. And two, we would always have somebody with us who had been there before and knew the way. This trip we're on here on planet Earth is scary, isn't it? I mean, how do we find our way? Well, because he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This jungle is scary. I have faced dangers in the Metroplex that made crocodiles on the Cross River look tame. And you know what I'm talking about? You've been in those places and situations. This trip is scary. But because he has been tempted, he knows what it is to lead me through mine. How many times have you heard me say the words in the years that you've been part of this family that I can never fully trust somebody who has not been broken? I will like you. I'll be your friend. I'll hang out with you. But I will never fully trust somebody who has never been fundamentally broken. Because when I am, you don't know the way out of my mess. The next time I fall face down on the ground and I'm laying there bleeding, and unless God comes quick, I'll fall again and again, and so will you. The next time we find ourselves desperate, reaching up, it's you I'm going to call. It's you I'm going to look for. Because I know you, and you know me. And you know that we know the way out of that pit. Second one, flip over about a page. One more, and then we'll get into some rapid fire here in a minute. Hebrews chapter 7, just a page or so over. Page 820 in a Serenity Bible. Now, there have been many priests since death prevented them from continuing at office, but Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. Write this down. God is able to save us completely, to the uttermost, absolutely, permanently, forever. Well, sure, John, that may be the case for you and some of these nice people around me here. But I know that that can't apply to me, because my sins are really ugly sexual sins. Well, so was David's. The man after God's own heart. Well, okay, it may apply to some of you, but I've hurt people. I've hurt people really badly who did not deserve to be hurt, and I hurt them on purpose. So did Paul, the apostle. All right, I can live with that, but I have utterly, completely turned my back on Jesus. I looked him right in the eye and I told him I was with him. I looked him right in the eye and told him he could count on me. I turned and looked at him and said, I will follow you wherever you go. And I didn't. And it hurt him terribly. So did Peter, the rock. But I'm a bad person, John. I've done terrible things. Well, congratulations. You're the ideal candidate for the offer. You are exactly the one he had in mind. I'll give you another shot of good news, and you're really going to want to write this down. He didn't come and die for good people. He came and died for really messy ones, like, I don't know, everybody in this room. Well, speak for yourself, John. No, I'm speaking for you too. Wait a minute, you forget. I actually know you people. And you really know me. He was drawn like a magnet to the sinful and immoral and broken. He hung out with us. He chose us on purpose. He picked us out of the litter. He found us. He picked us. And during his time, he would go into town, and he did not go to the tidy church folks first, ever. He went and found us.
Amen.
In every town he walked into. Oh, man. And he got, and he'd party with us. Do you know Jesus is a party animal? If there was a party nearby, you would find him at the party with us.
Yeah, having fun.
You remember when he was roundly criticized for being at a big old dinner party hooting and having a good time with a bunch of us, and the church folks walked by and said, what are you doing hanging out with these people, the Serenitarians? You remember his answer? I didn't come for healthy ones. I came for the sick ones. I'm a doctor, he said. Doctors go find the sick ones, and that's who I've come for. Amen. Now, how's that for some good news for the likes of us tonight? He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, and he always lives to intercede for them. Two great God is able passages, but I'm going to give you three more real quick. I want to send you home with five God is able passages. And the last three end in an amen. The word amen is really hard to translate. As close as you can translate that word into English, it's something along the order of, so be it. Let that happen. I want that too. Now, most of my life in full-time preaching ministry for all of these decades that God has put me in this spot in His family, the vast majority of that time, most of the people sitting in front of me were way too dignified to blurt out a amen or something.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm sorry for them. I'm sorry for them. But you know the advantage to being an old preacher. Old preachers don't put up with that nonsense anymore. Things that I would just have to tolerate then, I don't put up with anymore, and I've never, ever let you get away with just sitting there quietly when something needed to be affirmed.
Amen.
Oh, I've trained you well. But it's not the preacher that needs to be affirmed. It's the message that needs to be affirmed. When our hearts are convicted, our mouths need to get in on it too. Scripture says there comes a time, quoting the book, when the redeemed of the Lord should say so. The redeemed of the Lord should say so. In the New Testament, the word amen is found more often than the words belief, acceptance, support, approval, than many words that are key to our faith. The principle is as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Amen. So the first God is able, amen, is in Jude. It's fairly easy to find, oddly. It is a little snip of scripture. In most Bibles, it's not even a full page. Little tiny book of the Bible, immediately before the last book. The last book in the New Testament is Revelation, and the page right before Revelation 1 is Jude. It's a short, powerful little explosion, a burst of truth. He deals with denying the undeserved grace of God. He deals with the immorality that pulls us loose from God. And he wants us to wind up. He wants us to wind up grabbing God and letting go of that. The last two verses in Jude, in your Bible, you'll see is probably labeled doxology. Is that what it says there? Doxology. Doxology simply means a word of praise. A word of praise to God. It's not me talking to you, it's us talking to Him. It is praising Him. Jude 24, 25. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And let all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Has it ever dawned on you that on the judgment day, all of us are going to be lined up with Peter and Paul and Moses and Daniel and Isaiah and Esther and Ruth and Rahab and Mary, Jesus' own mother, all lined up on the judgment day with you and me in the middle of the crowd. I used to lay awake at night worrying about that moment. He would be just my luck that Joshua would be here and Isaiah over here when I'm in line, you know? I used to lie and wake and worry about that. But the more I understand the grace of God, the less any of that bothers me. Because the bottom line is not my personal goodness. The only thing that really matters, write it down, is that my God is able to keep me from falling. I can't make me holy. I've tried and really, really failed. And the only way that it's going to happen is that my God is able to keep us from falling. And say it again. Amen.
Amen.
Next one's in Romans 16, page 778. Two more to go, and then I'm done. Romans 16, verse 25. This may sound familiar. Now, to him who is able. Have you heard that sometime tonight? To him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known throughout the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, now he is able to establish us. If you have a different translation, it may say strengthen us. But it's still kind of a hard establish. What do you mean by that? The word he actually used, Paul, in writing this letter to the Romans, he used a botanical term, an agricultural term. It was a farming term. And what it meant was, God is able to sink a deep root system. It's exactly the meaning of the word he used there. Our God is able to give you a deep root system. Some of you know my buddy, Randy Finner, who's been my brother since we were roommates in college. And a bunch of years ago, he was called to pastor a great big church in Midland. And after they had been there for a while, I'm not a big fan of the Permian Basin, you know. After they had been for a while, I said, Randy, that is just so bleak out there.
Bleak.
And brown. And he said, oh, John, he said, you don't realize that all around Midland and Odessa, there are groves of the tallest trees in Texas. I said, Randy, I've been there. He said, oh, absolutely. He said, all the way around Midland, out in the country, there are trees that are 200 feet tall. Now, he said, 197 of those feet are below ground. And that's a scientific fact, by the way. Those poor scraggly creosote bushes around out there will be about 3 feet tall, but literally they will have a root system as much as 200 feet down to get to the nearest water out there in the middle of the desert. That's the only way they've been able to grow. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, my God, our God is able to sink your roots as far down as they need to go to get to what you need down there and to hold you up. Our God can even do that. Now, to him who is able to sink your roots by the gospel and proclaiming of Jesus Christ. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And then we'll wind up with my favorite of all, and I saved it for last because it is my favorite, and you've heard me come to it countless times through the years. Be page 800 in a Serenity Bible or Ephesians 3 in whatever Bible you've got there. Ephesians chapter 3. I hate to ever talk about the concept of having favorite scripture, but I shamelessly have favorite scripture. And in my top five forever is Ephesians 3. He prays this amazing prayer for these people he loved at that church in the city of Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And he writes them this letter, and at the end he says, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And then he prays this beautiful prayer starting in verse 14. And he says, I want you to have the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to have the love of Jesus Christ. I want you to have the power of God the Father. He prays for the entire Trinity, the entire Godhead. He gathers up and points right down and says, I want you to have everything all three of them have to offer. I want you to have it all. And then he closes out his prayer in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
See why I saved it for last? And write this down as the last thing you need to take home. To him who is immeasurably more, who is able to give us immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. Write down, more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God says here, I am able to give you more than you need. And that's my story. That's your story. God has given everybody in this room way more than we actually need.
Yeah.
He says, I will give you more than you need and more than you want. And then I'm just going to keep on blessing you and give you more than you can ask for or know how to imagine. I want to bless you in ways so big, so deep, so wide, and so full that you can't even think it up. God gave me the blessing of you and this little fellowship of ours, this family that God created beautifully out of a bunch of shattered pieces of shard and shrapnel. And he picked up these shattered pieces, and we handed it as a body to him, and he said, look what I'll do with that. Watch me reassemble it into something you don't know. I didn't even know how to ask for you. And I'm so glad he gave you to me. I'm so glad he gave us to each other. I didn't know how to ask for that or imagine it. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. We are going to start tonight, Overcomers Early, because our service will be shorter. And that we will not conclude with the usual worship time that follows the lesson. Plan to be in the fellowship hall, every one of you, at 8:30. And we'll kick off the meeting at 8:30. We'll start a little early and end a little early.
John, speaking of God being able to do everything that he says he can do, can we pray for the pilgrims that are going to be on the walk this next week?
Oh, We have next weekend some members of our family who are going to be on the adventure that is the walk to Emmaus. In the opening speech, they'll give you the first night. They'll say, now don't anticipate what's coming up. Over and over, don't anticipate what's coming. Well, I'm going to let you anticipate this. You will come back different than you were when you got up. And God will rebuild things in you that you didn't know needed rebuilding. And bless you in ways that you didn't know how to ask or imagine. And we're so excited. Lori, would you just, where you are, pray a blessing on that walk, on all that team and pilgrims, but very specifically on those in our family here. Amen. Now let's stand where we're going to hear the reading and share the reading of the 12 promises, followed by the Lord's Prayer.